Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special live edition of the Timmy Did What podcast. I'm Kara Burrell. I have my co-host here, Ryan Fisher.
Hello. How's it going?
So we decided to jump on this live stream really quick to bring you some breaking news that Tim Ballard has been in Syria, and co-host Ryan and I, it feels like we have been hot on the case to find out exactly why and what he's doing in Syria. So we wanted to break everything down that we know so far. Spoiler alert, Tim is a little bit like a moth to a flame in war-torn areas to raise money for his brand and get footage of himself with destitute people. But this time, like many in the past, Tim is going rogue. Isn't that right, Ryan? And not quite doing it in the right types of jurisdictions with the right types of oversight, you could say, to say the least. So people in Syria, as well as those in the U.S. government, aren't really happy with his meddling. And Tim Ballard, if you're unfamiliar, you might know from The Sound of Freedom. We talk about him on this podcast, the Timmy Did What podcast. He says that he has been risking his life to open a humanitarian corridor in war-torn Syria, but journalists in the region say his presence has actually gotten people killed. So we're going to talk about what happened in Syria and why this whole mission looks like another Sound of Freedom self-promotion. Mm-hmm. All right. So anything so far, Ryan?
Give us the background on Syria and the Druze situation and how we got here real briefly before we figure out what Timmy is doing in Syria.
Before we figure out what Timmy's doing, let's start with where all this took place. So in Syria, in a place called Soweida, on the southern tip of the country near the border with Jordan and Israel. It's home to about 600,000 people, most of them Druze. And I had to look into what a Druze, what this region is all about. So if you're like, I know nothing about it, you're going to learn with me now. And isn't it fun that Tim Ballard gets us more educated on geopolitical matters? So most of them are Druze people, a small religious group with their own beliefs and a long history of staying neutral during Syria's chaos. So when the Syrian civil war started in 2011, the Druze tried to avoid taking sides and they formed local militias, basically armed neighborhood watches to protect their own towns. So for years, Soweida stayed relatively stable while the rest of Syria fell apart. So, but when Bashar al-Assad's regime finally collapsed in late 2024, Soweida was left on its own. There were different Druze factions scrambling for power, some loyal to the old government, the old regime. Some wanted independence. But in August 2025, so just recently, they formed something called the National Guard of Soweida. It was a shaky coalition of over 40 militias under a spiritual leader, an Israeli-backed Druze cleric named Hikmat al-Hijiri. So by the time, he's pictured there on screen. So by the time Tim Ballard showed up, the region was already a powder keg. The fighting between Druze groups and local Bedouin tribes had reignited that summer. So we're talking just recently. Hundreds were dead and families displaced and control of Soweida hung in the balance. So this is your slide, Ryan.
Yeah. So this is Tim is giving us a masterclass course on how to start a war between the United States, Israel, and Syria with very reckless actions for his own self-promotion. So we could go ahead and skip to the next slide and get it started.
You want me to play this one?
Yeah, go ahead, I guess.
Okay.
The first few seconds.
Which was an insane thing to do because it's a war zone. Tim, first question.
That's good enough right there. That's a preview from an interview. Going to Soweida right now is an insane thing to do, and we're going to show you exactly why. Okay, so the Druze clash with the Syrian government a couple months ago, and this clash was really violent. The Syrian current Syrian government came out of the Islamic militant groups that took over the Syrian government. However, the president is actually a pretty moderate guy by Islamic standards. And but some of the people within these factions ended up clashing with the Druze slash Christian factions there, as everybody's fighting for power when there's a power vacuum, like in any conflict that there is. So go ahead, next slide. And what we are dealing with here is a very volatile situation that that was involved with many different internal and external forces all playing a role in this. So when the clashes started, Israel launched airstrikes into Syria in an effort, as they claim, to protect the Druze people and issue a response. Israel is just, in a lot of people's opinion, flat out trying to start a war with Syria. They're in an expansionist mentality right now, as is evident in Gaza. And so they launched airstrikes with Syria. The U.S. government stepped in. They did not support Syria's airstrikes. A negotiated ceasefire was put in place between the Syrian government and Israel and the U.S. and the Druze. That ceasefire held. It was also in conjunction with Jordan, which is shares a border with this community. And the U.S., Jordan, Israel made a deal with the Syrian regime that if the ceasefire is violated, they will militarily open up a corridor to get aid to the Druze. So the ceasefire is mostly held. There has been some isolated clashes of violence on the perimeters, but it has mostly held up until recently. So next slide. And insert into this situation at this point, in this very volatile situation, this very volatile geopolitical situation, the U.S., Israel, Jordan, the Druze, and Syria are all dealing with, Tim Ballard comes and inserts himself, because that's what he does with anything right. That is a crisis that affects children. He's the savior of children. So he inserted himself into this situation. And go ahead and play that clip.
I recognize this scene. Right here. They shot the guy right here.
Yes. That's where the guy
is. I recognize the...
Can I give you my story?
Yes, please. Oh. Adam Kordam.
Yes.
Adam Kordam, in the name of the Messiah, in the name of our Savior, we bless you that you will heal. We bless you that you will be taken care of, that God Almighty will bless your broken body and restore your health and restore all that you have lost, in his name, in God's name, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen.
Peace.
I promise.
Thank you very much.
Look at my eyes. Okay. I have Druze eyes.
Yes.
Druze can't lie. The Druze can't lie. And I have Druze eyes.
Welcome.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. We're going to do everything we can to fix this place. Okay? I bless you.
Let the president of the department.
And they should step to the hospital.
So he's walking around to places where violence took place and is reiterating and doing kind of a post-game report on some of these places as violence, real violence, took place. So continue.
Can we keep playing?
Yeah, keep playing. Let's get through this. This is a video he shot with his camera crew.
They stepped on the guy who was injured here. After they injured him, they go back with the tank.
And you'll see a guy in a black cap, black shirt. That's Matt Cooper from OUR fame, Tim Ballard's best friend, that's accompanying him on this Syria trip. Right there. To know that you are the people of humanity and you are the ones that protect humanity. All over the world. We thank President Trump. One request, return to our homes.
two bathrooms for all the women.
I kiss the hand of the Israeli president and the hand of the American president. The American president himself.
We
look at this with compassion. We thank Israeli people.
He wants to go back to his school as well.
Okay. We will get you back to your school.
I want my things back, my bike, laptop, piggy bank.
What do you want back? What do you want?
She's starting to cry. She wants to go back to school. Snuggling the babies, kissing the babies.
Okay.
Slow motion walk away.
You can go ahead and stop it there. Next slide. Yeah, so Tim's going around revisiting places where violence happened. And he's full on acting as a U.S. ambassador to the Druze people. He's taking requests from them, messages that they want to get to President Trump. He's saying he's taking their messages, acting as an ambassador that would pass them on. He also is telling the people there, we're going to fix this place. We are going to fix this place. He promises that kid, we're going to get your school reopened. He asks that little girl, what do you want? And so he is making all of these promises as a ambassador, as what they suppose is an ambassador representative of the United States in some way, shape, or form. Up until this point, not a single American ambassador has gone into this situation because it's a powder keg and it's very volatile and there's a lot of factors at play. But what is so disturbing about this is because Kara and I have been talking about this for, I don't know, better part of the last year and a half. This is the cycle, the rinse and repeat cycle that he does with conflict zones where he inserts himself for a profit motive and a personal motive that we're going to get to as well. But he's making promises that he can't keep, and he's taking advantage of people in desperate situations in a very disgusting way. So go ahead and go to the next slide and we'll.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, when he's walking past like that van that's all shot up and everything, like he's taking real people's lived tragic experiences. And it's kind of like a Hollywood movie set where he's like, this is cheaper than having to film a whole other movie. I'll just walk past your war-torn area. Like, they're just props in his story. It's very sad.
Yeah, and he ends with a montage of him slow motion with music, holding children.
Like, he did something.
Children. I mean, this is a promo video that he created that's on his Tim Ballard website that we're going to get to later on. But just this is the stuff that he's putting out there, putting out in the world. But it gets even worse. So let's continue.
So this is a clip from the Troy's show, Last of Sensation.
Yeah, where he
and is the war still
claiming to be a point for Congress and doing this in some sort of unofficial but official capacity. Go ahead, play.
Yeah. Going on, and we're trying to establish a corridor. We're trying to work with the U.S. government. I've briefed the U.S. Congress several times, the administration. I'm working very, very closely with Ambassador Huckabee about this and other things that we're going to talk about. You know, the U.S., it's not just this that I'm working with the U.S. government.
Yeah, he claims he's working with Ambassador Huckabee. He's on point for Congress. We're going to see none of that is apparently true. So next slide.
In southern Syria called Sweda, which was an insane thing to do because it's a war zone. Tim, first question, what on earth were you doing there?
Like you said, we had to rescue kids.
He's there to rescue kids.
Yeah, so this is on an Israeli reporter newscast in which he's claiming that he's there to rescue kids. So next slide. Unfortunately, from the whole promo video and everything that he's put out there, no kids were rescued. He made a lot of promises to kids, but nothing was actually done. And no kids are rescued. And this fits a pattern where anytime anybody asks him what he's doing, his automatic like knee-jerk response is like, well, I'm here to rescue kids.
Here on behalf of Jesus to rescue kids. You got a problem with that? Then you're a pedophile.
Yeah, exactly. And so even there, he's claiming to this Israeli reporter that he's rescuing kids, even though no kids were rescued. Nobody was brought back. In fact, those kids in that situation were not being trafficked. They're living with their families in that situation. So I don't know where he's making a connection that there's even kids that need to be rescued. Rescued from who? His like default, like vomit, diarrhea of the mouth is I'm here to rescue kids from traffickers. But he showed in his promo video he never met with any traffickers. Nobody's claiming anybody's trafficking. They're in a completely different situation from Tim's normal sales pitch. And so there's no kids being trafficked, and there's kids that are suffering because the entire community is suffering from this civil war that's happening, this internal civil faction war that's happening. However, I don't know where he's getting off saying that he went there to save kids because no kids were being trafficked and nobody's even claiming kids were being trafficked in that situation. But he continues to reiterate these talking points that he has been regurgitating for the last 10 years everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next slide. This
in southern Syria. Tim, let me just ask you from a policy standpoint in Washington. First question, apparently this is not entirely up to Israel to fix this, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Israel needs the United States, and they've been awesome. We've briefed Congress, working with Ambassador Huckabee, who's totally in this and wants to fix this. So we have an opportunity because last week, and last week, Syria, Jordan, and the United States made an agreement. Like a white paper, like a MOU, basically, that said that there has to be a corridor from Jordan. They agreed on Jordan, which is not horrible. You know, the Jordanians are willing to help as well. There's plenty of provisions, right? Because they were there for the Gazan people. That, you know, that's another story because they were just selling it and not getting it to the people. So they agreed on it, but it was just in theory. So who's going to test it? You know, so I said, well, I'll go test it then. Let's go test it. And there's a trigger point. It's a bad agreement because the Jews weren't even represented. But there's a trigger in it that allows the United States to get involved. And that is that part of the deal was a ceasefire. And if they violate the ceasefire, then that means the U.S., together with the Red Cross, can come in and secure the corridor. Well, they violate it every night. A Christian man was killed a mile away from me last night. Okay, that's every night. And so they're violating the ceasefire. So the U.S. has every bit of moral authority and legal authority at this point to activate that clause in the agreement and secure the corridor with.
So right there, that reporter is asking Tim specifically about U.S. government policy, and he's giving a response as if he is a representative of the U.S. government, mm-hmm. which he is not. But these people don't know that. And then he reiterates the policy, the agreement, what's happening. And what he says in there is that if the ceasefire is triggered, I mean, if the ceasefire fails, if it's shown that the Syrian government is not protecting the Druze people like they promised, or that the ceasefire is not holding, then it triggers the U.S. military to step in and secure the humanitarian corridor. So what he's doing right here is not only he's pretending to be a U.S. ambassador that's pretending and stating that he can answer policy questions, but then he's also stating what their U.S. response will be if these things happen. And then he goes to Syria, or he goes to Sweda, and states to them and to Israeli press and elsewhere that the ceasefire is being violated and the U.S. has precedence and legal and obligation to put boots on the ground to secure that corridor. So he is flat out threatening war against Syria, the Syrian regime, as a pretend U.S. ambassador.
Yeah.
Can you see the problem with this?
Yeah. Yeah. You stated it so well. Because on one hand, Tim Ballard is creating his own self-promotional videos, which we would understand. But then he's also actually lighting a match on this powder keg on mm-hmm. purpose. So very scary stuff.
Yeah. So Go ahead and go to the next clip.
All right. So you already.
Yeah, I covered most of that.
Okay.
All right. You want to introduce this clip? This is, I think, him also acting as an ambassador against.
Yeah, this one made me say, wowza, wowza. So this is UK column news.
Was on X, and this is Tim Ballard speaking.
We just crossed, I think this is our 177th border crossing in the last 48 hours. The way we infilled was not traditional, but very much deliberate. We basically leveraged several different partnerships, but look, you don't know who is who anywhere, especially when you enter Syria.
Pay attention to that. Have that pin in that. He's like, you know, we leverage different partnerships. Some of them might be like the worst people in the world, but you know, you never know who's who.
Once we got in, it was mission accomplished. We got to see everything. We saw all the people we wanted to see. We got the evidence we needed. This evidence is going to be valuable because it's the thing that triggers the clause in the agreement between Syria, U.S., and Jordan that allows the United States to come in and secure the corridor. So that was very key to get that evidence. But really, it was to see the kids, see the people, bring hope to them.
So he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth here, yes. Ryan. Help translate this.
Yeah, so he's got dual missions. One side, he says he's there to help the kids. And that's how he gets into places. That's how he gets government officials or border people to allow him into countries, is he's a humanitarian that's there to help kids. But then he reveals right in that statement that his other mission or his real purpose or one of the many purposes is to gather evidence that the ceasefire is being violated, which will trigger military action against the Syrian government and against the factions fighting the Druze. And so is he working for the Israeli regime to try and provoke a war in between Israel and Syria? Because that's exactly what he stays doing. He's trying to trigger that clause that gives them justification for putting military boots on the ground and taking military action. So which is it, Tim? Like, what are you doing and who are you working for? And he's like, well, we don't know who's who in this situation. Mm-hmm. And it's really dangerous, as we're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'll keep playing this.
You know, that people do love them. They feel very unloved, and I don't blame them, because nobody in the entire world of billions of people has done much of anything. It's just crazy.
Well, I mean, the Israeli government did issue airstrikes against the Druze enemies, so that's not nothing. I think he's delusional in thinking that he has a grasp of the situation in any way, shape, or form. And he's the one that's going to solve it and help and save people in some way. Again, this goes back to what we've been talking about for the mm-hmm. last year, that this white savior messiah complex that's in his head is being manifest in taking real action against people that are to try and help people that are suffering, but in a self-aggrandizing way. Like, Tim Ballard's going to come in and swoop in and save the day here.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go that way.
Yeah. And also, the end of that clip, he makes a reference that he's going to take this evidence back to Jerusalem. And it sounds like he's doing some reporting back to the Israeli government. So it's like, mm-hmm. who sent him on that mission there? Who arranged for him to drop into Syria as the first person, like the first American who's been in this war-torn region, you know, in an official or unofficial capacity, the first person? All signs point to that he's working for Israel, in my estimation, and he admits as much.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, that story can't hold a candle to the reality that Israel, the IDF, has Mossad. They have their own version of the CIA that has agents everywhere. If they needed to find something out, they're not going to send Tim Ballard in to, like, do this. But what Tim Ballard does do is he's a propagandist, and he can take video footage and stir up anger about the situation among Israelis and among Christians. So is he rogue? Is he a useful tool for Israeli propaganda? I don't know, but this is what he's doing.
All right. Leave it in the chat, guys, if you think he works for Israel, officially or unofficially.
Yeah. So okay, now we get into actual credible reporting on what's happening in Israel or in Syria by journalists that are on the ground there. And this comes from Charles Lister. And I'm going to have to make this larger so I can read it to you. So hang on just one second. And this is a journalist that was that's been 15 years working in Syria to cover all issues related to the civil war between the Assad regime and the rebels. And Charles Lister, he's a program director and founder of SyriaWeekly.com. Well, he recently posts this about Tim Ballard's visit. He says, according to a highly reliable non-Syrian source, the main facilitator of Tim Ballard's visit to Sweda has deep roots in the Assad-era organized crime and drug trafficking. And the outcome of the visit has been to trigger internal division, a further crackdown by Hijiri loyalists. So apparently the person that Tim is working with, according to this journalist, is an Assad-era person that has ties to crime and drug trafficking. And the purpose of it is to trigger internal division and a further crackdown by Hijiri loyalists. Crackdown meaning crackdown on the Druze people, crackdown on the Christians by the loyalists. So at the end of the day, Ballard was in Syria on his own account, certainly not with the knowledge or consent, let alone in coordination with the U.S. government. His actions and their implications directly undermine well-established Trump administration policies. He goes on to say that Sweda has witnessed a spike in clashes between rival Druze militants and the Assad regime general in command of the region's National Guard, who has fired two commanders and all their men during major tensions. A key trigger was a recent visit by an American. So this general, Assad regime general, was upset that he was not invited to this diplomatic meeting between what they supposed was an American ambassador to the region. So roughly a week ago, a controversial American, Tim Ballard, a QAnon follower forced from his own NGO on sexual misconduct allegations, then expelled from the Mormon church, visited Sweda. While there, he met Druze cleric Hikmat al-Hijiri, a National Guard commander's. While in Sweda, Ballard told many of those he met that he was close to the President Trump and was there on a mission on behalf of America. Okay, this is an independent journalist in Syria that is talking to people and reporting on the situation. And his sources tell him that, obviously, I mean, this is what we're seeing in the video, but that Tim is telling others in there that he was close to President Trump and was there on a mission on behalf of America. That created a narrative that U.S. government delegation was in Sweda meeting with Druze leaders, something that would have been huge news, but it was never announced beforehand by the U.S. government. Anytime, like in these kind of volatile situations, if there is a delegation going on a peacekeeping mission to have negotiations between rivaling factions that are killing each other, there's a very coordinated, careful press release followed by summation of what they're going to discuss. And I mean, it's a very coordinated, almost scripted effort by both sides so that it doesn't erupt in some sort of clash or violence. But nothing was announced. All of a sudden, this American claiming to be an American ambassador just shows up out of the blue in Sweda, telling people that he's there on a mission on behalf of America. As it happened, the leader of the Sweda National Guard, Assad regime, Brigadier General Jihad al-Ghoutani, wasn't invited to the meeting with Ballard. By design or not, nobody knows. But Ghoutani was furious, swiftly firing those who organized the meeting and all their men. In the hours and days since, Sweda has seen four interfactional clashes, three assassinations, and a flurry of public statements by different factions, families, and local notables, triggering divisive public disputes concerning the region's identity and status in a post. According to a highly reliable non-Syrian source, the main facilitator of Tim Ballard's visit to Soweto has deep roots in the Assad era, organized crime and drug trafficking, and the outcome of the visit has been to trigger internal division, a further crackdown by Hijri loyalists. So this resulted in these clashes that were a reaction to the rumors or the reports going around that the U.S. was intervening in Soweto and went to visit only the Druze and Christian leaders and completely left out the other factions from this. They took that as a signal that the U.S. was backing the Druze cause, and it triggered a response and clashes and violence in which three people were killed.
Insane.
Yeah, this is insane. And so this is a developing story that Charles Lister with SyrianWeekly.com is following. And at the end of the day, he says, at the end of the day, Ballard was in Syria on his own account, certainly not with the knowledge or consent, let alone the coordination with the U.S. government. His actions and their implications directly undermine well-established Trump administration policies. So
yeah. Why is he doing this, though, Ryan? Why?
Yeah, why is he doing this? Why is he inserting himself in a situation that he knows nothing about? Nobody wanted him there. He's claiming that he was a government official when she is not. And he's causing and sparking clashes that are getting people killed. Well, sadly, the reason he's doing all this is even more disturbing than anything that's happened so far. And he gives this answer in this press interview that he does shortly after arriving back in Israel. It tells us exactly what this is all about.
Tim, if we want to get involved, if people want to help, if people want to stop the senseless killing of Christians and other minorities, it's just blowing my mind. Where do they go?
So we have a foundation we stood up for this purpose. It's the Tim Ballard Foundation, tbfrescue.org. Please donate. We need help. They need help. And we're also going in to help the Gazan kids as the dust settles, everyone's going to see, the bad guys were the same guys. The same people in southern Syria are the ones who are doing this to the children. They put up a smoke screen. Half the world fell for it. And we've got to dissipate that darkness and understand what's actually happening. There actually are good guys and bad guys. It's very clear. And the good guys and bad guys have set the battle lines everywhere, including in America. They've infiltrated America through demographic, through political warfare. I mean, it's already there. It could go kinetic any day.
Yeah, so that's the motivation behind all of this. The Tim Ballard Foundation, he was there. He didn't rescue any kids. He shot promo footage to make him a hero in a situation that he can't be a hero in, that he put that video on his website for the Tim Ballard Foundation. Then he's going on this press tour saying, if you want to help these Druze people combat all the violence that I just showed you, send me money. Send him personally money for his new foundation. And this is just one of multiple organizations that he has that have crashed and burned on him. His own OUR crashed and burned, fired him for sexual assault allegations. Then his spear fund that he started crashed and burned. Then he's got with Aerial Recovery, who we are told is being investigated by the FBI for fraud. And now he started a new venture this is the fourth or fifth one in the last 2 years, trying to take advantage of the Syrian crisis as somebody that has access to religious people around the world and profit upon their suffering. But in the course of doing that this time, he's undermining the U.S. government. He's stirring up contentions and he's getting people killed. Like this guy is, his reckless self-aggrandizement, profit-seeking motives are actually having really world serious consequences in the lives of real people.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you mentioned before that there's a pattern here with how Tim does this when there's war-torn areas, whether it's Ukraine or, you know, cartel areas of Central South America. He jumps right in and puts the camera on him to kind of capitalize and maximize eyeballs during a situation that's already contentious enough to try to bring attention to him, bring money to him, and pull at people's heartstrings.
Yeah. Everything you need to know about Tim Ballard is that he's a movie maker about himself as a main character. And that's why I'm even in this conversation, because I helped launch his career. And at the very beginning, I was tasked by him and later on by the Mormon Church to make a documentary series about him and his work to elevate his ambitions and his political ambitions and his money-making ambitions. And so I know from the inside that this is what he's about. And it's incredibly frustrating to see that 10 years later, he is still out there doing the same thing. Ukraine war erupts, Tim Ballard shows up, and he's there to save children and give us your money for that. You know, the drug wars in Mexico become a hot topic in the press. He gets out there on social media and starts talking about we need the border wall and we need to crack down on the drug traffickers who are also exploiting children and trafficking. And I'm your guy. And he told that story enough times that got the attention of the White House. And he got all the way into a meeting with President Trump over that. And now the Syrian crisis with the Druze happens, and who shows up? Tim Ballard to save the day. He's writing movies about himself. He goes there, he gets footage about himself, blessing people, holding the hands, rocking children, crying with children, and then turns around and shows violent acts being perpetrated against others to pull at your heartstrings, and then turns around and asks you for money for him personally, for his foundation. So if anybody can't see through this by now, it should, then I don't know how to help you. It's a pretty disgusting con that is affecting real people in real ways. And now in this case, we have definitive proof that it's actually killed people.
Right on. Yeah. Unfortunately, very sad. Mm-hmm. And I am getting more educated on war in Syria, however, but not through the ways that I'd like to. Now, yeah. Ryan, do you need to run right now? Should I finish up without you?
Yeah. I need to run. Actually, I can hang out for another couple minutes. I'm glad we're doing this live stream so we can get this out to people as soon as possible and try and minimize the damage that he's causing.
Do you want me to finish playing this clip?
Yeah, go ahead.
And we're so blind to it. We got to fight this war.
There's just one portion of this clip that I wanted people to hear, that in addition to what he said,
kinetic any day.
It's about to go kinetic any day. America. Tell me if you hear what I hear in this. Everyone, put your thinking ears on real quick.
Through political warfare, I mean, it's very clear, and the good guys and bad guys have set the battle lines everywhere, including in America. They've infiltrated America through.
So you're saying that the bad guys in Syria are the same bad guys in Gaza, and those same bad guys have infiltrated into America as well. And I want to go into this in another video, but Tim Ballard's Islamophobia and painting all Muslims as violent terrorists who have like these sleeper cells in America that are just about to explode any day and take over our country is like the real enemy. If you go to his Facebook page, it is some intense Islamophobic bullshit. And I am not saying that as just like some leftist who's like, yay, great, Sharia law for all of us. Cause that's what he wants to make it sound like, that anyone who's like politically left is like, hooray, child marriages. I'm an atheist, but I also have a brain. And I know that there are many different peaceful Muslim factions as well as violent jihadists all over the world that would disavow anything that's going on. But he, for his narratives, he's trying to really simply put it's Christianity, it's Judaism against the rest of the world. And I think that's really disgusting. And I wanted to call that out because he's saying that, yeah.
Demographic, through political, through warfare. I mean, it's already there. It could go kinetic any day.
So he's is stoking this fear against Muslims at every turn. That's what he's propagandizing for right now as well.
And let me back up what you're saying. As a Christian, I see him using Christian rhetoric to try and con the evangelical Christian movement in very specific ways. In other parts of this video, he says that he's there to gather the tribes of Israel and things like that. And so he's playing right into the rhetoric and the things that the evangelical Christian world responds to, their ears perk up to, and he's been able to con a lot of them, sadly, a lot of people that I know and love, into believing that he's a righteous crusader when in fact he's the opposite.
Exactly. I have a picture on screen of Tim on this self-promotional Syria tour, kissing a cross that he gets from a priest there. And yeah, it's very dangerous on many levels, and how he weaves this geopolitical religious narrative all together. He's, you know, like Ryan said, he's told his audience that he's actually there to help gather the lost tribes of Israel. And if you go back and listen to The Last Dispensation podcast. He says, they want us to gather them. People come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, a white Christian guy from America. We're here. Where are the lost remnants of Israel? We want to be gathered. Like he puts these people into his storyline and into his narrative. And then he sells that back to his religious audience in just these really nefarious ways. He's saying that he's going to report back to Israel. And so he's not just like giving a testimony like a missionary. This is his Christian Zionist mythology in real time. And he's taking this modern day conflict and acting like it is all part of his biblical prophecies that are now being fulfilled. He's placing himself into these biblical prophecies, saying that they're being fulfilled. These people are all part of his narrative. He's the Messiah, basically. It's not really humanitarian work. It's more white nationalist propaganda, if you ask me. So,
yep.
Here's another still shot on screen. Let me make it a little bit bigger. This is from, that didn't help much, but this is from his promotional video as well. He's standing and explaining a bunch of innocent people were shot there in the square in the middle of Sweda. And he's standing next to Matt Cooper from OUR, his best friend, who's got like a giant gun, a giant AK-47, which he must like that he is allowed to have guns now. Because when he was with OUR, they weren't allowed to have guns when they're in other countries, but now they are. And it's a picture of him hugging and crying with a little girl. And then at the end of the video, it says, we need your support for the efforts to open up this humanitarian corridor. It's just crazy to me that people with our military budget is exceeding $1 trillion right now. And that it takes Tim Ballard fundraising personally to his audience to open a humanitarian corridor in this region, that's how that's supposed to come about. That seems strange.
Yeah. And that corridor can't be opened unless the U.S., according to Tim, the U.S. puts troops on the ground down there to secure the corridor. Like he's directly calling for war with these factions, put military boots on the ground for these factions, having absolutely zero precedence to do so.
Right. So as Ryan pointed out, you know, the crucial detail is that he's in a place that's already split by rival factions. He's only meeting with certain leaders. And that's like kind of walking into a mafia turf war and taking, you know, selfies with one side and then everyone else sees the other ones on social media. And it's like, Tim Ballard's hanging out with who now? Why wasn't I invited, you know? So after Tim Ballard left, the infighting broke out between the National Guard of Sweda and the head of the guard. And they're all furious. He fired some commanders who left with Ballard or who met with Ballard. And then their allies retaliated. And then within days, there were 4 armed clashes and 3 assassinations. And the locals blamed Tim Ballard, his visit, for lighting that match. So while Tim didn't, you know, directly kill anyone, his arrival, his secret meetings, his fake official status just poured gasoline onto the already burning conflict. So now the dust is settling and the only thing that Tim Ballard is really taking back home with him is the footage of crying kids and the chaotic streets and himself posing as the savior in this place that didn't really ask for his saving. But as we explained, this is not a new pattern for Tim. Tim's entire career revolves around performative heroism, rescuing children by sharing their footage of doing nothing, these self-financed missions, and highly emotional fundraisers, where every story is crafted to show him as a lone man standing between innocence and evil. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the end of our slides for now.
Yeah, that's everything you need to know. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more like this, but that's this week's con.
Yeah, and as you guys might be aware, we filmed a ton of content around Tim Ballard's new explanation of why he's still a really faithful member of the church. However, he's been excommunicated, and the church has also been infiltrated by satanic sex-abusing pedophiles. So while Ryan and I worked really hard on those videos and I put them up, a lot of people were wondering where they went. Ryan, do you want to explain where they went and what we'll be working on instead?
Yeah, it's just it's a fluid situation. There's a lot of claims being posted around, and we wanted to get this right because it's an absolute bombshell claim that Tim is coming out and attacking the Mormon church, claiming that there are sexual ritual abusers that are being protected by apostles in the Mormon church. Bombshell claim. And so we want to make sure that we get all the details right and stuff. And so we're going to be presenting the updated version of that shortly.
Yes, it's an ongoing situation, such a bombshell. Want to make sure that we're getting it out as cleanly and crisply as possible. We had a lot of fun making those videos, but some other things have changed that. And we will have those out probably by Tuesday. So look for that. All right, everybody, I have links down below if you want to donate to this podcast, Timmy Did What. We are on all the places you listen to your podcast. We have a Patreon where we post the videos ad-free, and that recurring donation is amazing. It helps me and Ryan just stay afloat. And if you can do your best to share this video and leave a comment for the algorithm, that would help out a ton. Leave a like for Ryan for putting together all of this. And any other final words, Ryan?
Nope. It's a dynamic situation. It's constantly plot twisting left and right, up and down, and all over the place. So I'm anxious to see if the U.S. government, I know they're doing damage control right now. I'm anxious to see if they issue a public statement of some sort to the various factions, clarifying that Tim Ballard does not represent the U.S. government, and then ban him from going there ever again. Something along those lines would be very appropriate in this situation. So we'll keep you updated if anything like that happens in the coming hours and days. But until then, thanks for watching.